Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
He is sacked. He is brought down by Kiko Alonso. And there's your ball game.
That's game time right there. That's game time right there.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Leonis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. Tonight on the show, we'll talk about the NFL's rookie symposium outside Cleveland. Bill's third-round draft choice, Preston Brown, is headed there. We'll talk with him about that. There's a new league starting up this year. It's the Fall Experimental Football League, and the new commissioner, Brian Woods, joins us at 8 o'clock to talk about his plan. And former Bills linebacker Jay Foreman joins us to talk about broadcast boot camp in the NFL.
This is pandemonium!
At the 10, at the 5, heads to the end zone. Touchdown! C.J. Spiller!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Well, hello there. We are back. We are back in the studio after a night out on the town being Amherst, Village of Williamsville area last night. For the big show at NOCO Express, we had a really good time. We want to thank all the folks out there at NOCO Express who had us in there last night. We want to thank Fred Jackson, who really made the night a guest appearance on our show, but also spent a long time signing autographs for just about everybody there, between the hours he was there, 6:30 and 8. And, of course, we did our radio show at the NOCO Express store. They're still open. They're still there at Main Street and Youngs Road. We are here, safely ensconced in our studio at One Bills Drive. Good evening. Happy summertime to you. We are on the air the rest of this week, at least through Thursday night. And Friday night, as you know, is the NHL entry draft. And then a couple of weeks of Sal Capaccio hosting the show. And then by the time we come back on the air, it will be the week before training camp. That's really hard to imagine. I'm talking like when we come back and do the show after a two-week vacation, it'll be the 14th of July. Monday, July 14th. Jay Harris, producer, do you realize we've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday we're at training camp?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah.
So we're finishing up strong this week. We got a good show for you tonight. You heard the rundown. With coming up in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour, Buffalo's third-round draft pick this year, Preston Brown, linebacker out of Louisville. He's on his way tomorrow to Aurora, Ohio, southeast of Cleveland, with all the rest of the NFL rookies. They have the NFC rookies, the draft picks, in there this week. And then the AFC rookies, including all Bills draft picks, go in there the rest of this week through Saturday, starting tomorrow, for the NFL Rookie Symposium, the 17th year, I believe, they've done the Rookie Symposium. It's basically a crash course in what it's like to be an NFL player. We're going to talk with Preston Brown about what he expects to get out of the Rookie Symposium when he joins us live tonight at 7:30. We're going to talk with Preston Brown about his strong showing in the OTAs and minicamp so far. They put a lot on his plate as far as calling defenses and getting playing time during the OTAs. We'll talk with Preston Brown about that coming up at 7:30. Have you heard about the new developmental league that's in the works? They say it'll be up and running this fall. It is the Fall Experimental Football League, the FXFL. It's funny because we talked with Troy Vincent about this about 3 or 4 weeks ago on the show. There is a growing push in the NFL for a developmental league for players. A lot of it has to do with, obviously, the appetite for football. But more than that, players need a place to play. They don't come out of college, all of them, fully formed and ready to play at the NFL level. So why not a developmental league? They do it in the NBA. You know, the D League in the NBA, pretty successful. Major League Baseball with its extensive and longstanding minor league system. Why not a developmental football league? Brian Woods is the commissioner of the FXFL, the Fall Experimental Football League. Going to get this thing up and running in 6 cities around the country starting this October. It is going to be in the fall. They're going to develop players who are not on NFL rosters, players who didn't stick for whatever reason in college, maybe never went to college. They're going to develop officials to get them ready for the NFL. The FXFL, the Fall Experimental Football League. The Commissioner Brian Woods joins us at 8 o'clock tonight. And at 8:30, a former Buffalo Bill. You may remember this guy, fifth-round draft pick of the Bills back in the 90s, Jay Foreman, linebacker out of Nebraska. Played here, played at the Houston Texans. I think he played in Minnesota as well. He's going to be on the line with us tonight at 8:30. He has just completed last week broadcast boot camp in the NFL Films offices in New Jersey. Jay Foreman, who's done a little bit of broadcasting in Houston, he's involved in businesses in Lincoln, Nebraska, had a nice NFL career as a linebacker, and now he's looking into broadcasting. We'll talk with Jay Foreman about the broadcast boot camp experience. That's coming up tonight at 8:30. And speaking of broadcasting, we want to get your input on this. We'll take any of your calls, your comments, your questions about anything at all. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You can visit us via Twitter as well, at John Murphy. Here's a question we put on the table, though, and you can answer this or talk about your agenda. As we get set to talk with Jay Foreman about broadcast boot camp and the initial stages of what I'm sure he hopes could be a successful broadcasting career involving football, we want to hear from you. Which former players, which former NFL players have made the best transition to broadcasting football games, play-by-play or color? I guess we're talking for the most part television. If you want to bring up radio, you can. I happen to think my partner on Sundays in the Bills season, Mark Kelso, is just about as fine an analyst as you'll find in the National Football League. I mean, if you want a crash course and what's going on in the field, it's like, for me, it's like being on your toes for an oral exam every Sunday starting at 1 o'clock, because Mark Kelso knows it, talks it, and teaches it to all of our listeners. And I think he's the best I've ever heard at explaining the game and explaining the X's and O's. But you may have other thoughts about the easiest and best transition that a former player, football player, has ever made to the broadcast booth. Who's your favorite, basically? Jay Foreman, as we said, going to tell us what he learned at broadcast boot camp when he joins us at 8:30. Tell us what you've liked from the football players that you've heard and seen over the years who've made their way into the broadcast booth. There's a place for him. There's no question about that. You know, when I was a little kid 30 years ago or 40 years ago, there was, all, you know, Howard Cosell was the champion of this cause. Like, keep the jocks out of the broadcast booth. They don't know what they're talking about. Nobody believes that anymore. I never believed that. Nobody believes that anymore. You need guys who've been in there, who know what's going on. You need guys who have the sort of contacts that former players and coaches have to explain what's going on. Howard Cosell was dead wrong about that. There is a place for the jocks, and there are several good broadcasters who come from the ranks of the NFL fields. And we want to hear from you, your favorites. Who are the ones who make the best football broadcasters, former players, who are the best football broadcasters over the years or currently working now? Phone lines are open if you'd like to chip in. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Who's the best? Who's your favorite? Maybe one or two. Football players turn broadcasters. Who does the best job, in your opinion? I have a favorite I'm going to reveal right now, a favorite football player turned broadcaster, which I don't think is a household name, and I don't know if many people have seen him. I watch a lot of NFL football during the course of the year as a function of my job. I mean, I watch a lot. I watch the Bills games over again at least once. I watch the Bills opponents that week, hopefully two or three games. The advent of all 22 makes it a little bit easier, but I do watch a lot of NFL football. So I'm exposed to a lot of different broadcasters. And my favorite player turned broadcaster, at least right now, is Tim Ryan. Remember Tim Ryan, Chicago Bears defensive lineman? You don't remember him. Fox TV. He used to be on the radio with, on the Sirius XM NFL radio. He's no longer there. He used to have the great afternoon show on the Sirius XM NFL radio, Moving the Chains. And he's not there anymore, but he's still on Fox TV. In fact, I think he left the radio to concentrate on his television broadcast studio duties. I think Tim Ryan is the best analyst working now on network television. And if you haven't seen him, then it's your loss. I think you should seek him out. But who do you like, either now or in the past? Who do you like? Who are the best players? I guess we can throw coaches in here as well. Best players or coaches who have come off the field and made their way into the broadcast booth. Give us a call. The lines are open. 803-0550, the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. I mentioned Tim Ryan. There are plenty of others. I mean, from the all-time category, you'd have to think Pat Summerall. For whatever you think about his style, Pat Summerall had an amazing career as a broadcaster that followed up a pretty good career as a kicker in the NFL. His longtime partner, John Madden, you could say the same for him. a great career as a coach for the Oakland Raiders, and an even better career as an analyst on network TV. A lot of people like Chris Collinsworth on NBC, Sunday Night Football on NBC, including our producer, Jay Harris. Jay, he's not my favorite, but tell me why Chris Collinsworth.
He was a name that was out there. I watch a lot of games, and I kind of rope in Mike Mayock with this, too, is I need somebody, I guess you can reference Mark Kelso when I bring this up, but somebody that's going to explain to me what is going on and not just telling me that that's a bad play or, oh, boy, not a good play there or that's a good play. I need somebody that is going to break it down for me and give me the X's, O's, what happened there. And that's what I like to see, and that's what you expect from a color analyst. So,
and Collinsworth does that for you?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't find his style a little bit overbearing at times? Or
no? Well, Yeah, I prefer,
do, I have to say.
I know.
He's not my favorite, but right. They do a great job. I mean, the Sunday night broadcast is, without question, the best NFL broadcast probably of all time in terms of technically. I'm a huge Michelle Tafoya fan who reports from the sideline for him. The Sunday night football on NBC is really the best. And, oh, by the way, it's a number one show on television for the last few years.
Right.
All right, so we'll put you down for Collinsworth. But our listeners might have somebody else in mind. Rich Gannon does a fine job. Mike Mayock, Jay mentioned, on the Thursday night football on the NFL Network. Our very own Steve Tasker. Frank Gifford, you know, it's a name from the past, but he had a long and extensive career broadcasting football on the network. Phil Sims, the lead analyst on CBS. Dan Fouts, who's been doing it for you. Dan Fouts, you recall, was on Monday Night Football for a while. Troy Aikman, the lead guy on Fox. The Moose, Daryl Johnston, Lou Port's own. Tony Siragusa, you can have him. I wouldn't take him, but you can have him. But who's your favorite? Who's made the best transition from the football field or the sideline to the broadcast booth in broadcasting NFL football? Let us know what you think, because we're going to talk with Jay Foreman. We'll get his thoughts on his favorites, maybe someone he's patterned himself after. Jay Foreman's going to join us at 8:30, the former Bills linebacker, as he just finishes up at broadcast boot camp. But give us your thoughts. The phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter as well, at John Murphy Show. We'll start with Carl in Clarence. Carl, who's your favorite football player or coach turned broadcaster?
John Madden.
John Madden. Tell me why, Carl.
Just think. I mean, I'm 61 years old, and it's the best team of Michaels and Madden I've ever heard announcing games. And I do want to put a shout-out to Kelso. I mean, this guy is just incredible. Boy, if he doesn't know his X's and O's and the reason for every play that went good or bad, I'm totally amazed by the guy. I personally feel that he should be a position coach, if not a head coach in the league.
Yeah, he could coach. I think he could coach.
His knowledge is just beyond incredible.
He's very good. We are – our first game, our first broadcast is going to be Sunday, August 3rd. So what, we're about 5.5 weeks away from our first preseason game. Mark Kelso was in here in the building today, roaming around, getting ready to do his charts, his boards for that first game. I mean, come on, 5 or 6 weeks away. I said, Mark, I don't even know who's going to be on the roster on August 3rd. How can you do that? But that's the level of preparation he has. He's unbelievable. Mark Kelso.
And it shows on the show. He's got a good partner in you, too. So, both of you just keep up the great work.
Carl, thanks for your call. Carl votes for John Madden as the all-time football player or coach turned broadcaster. And I think a lot of people would agree with that. Madden was interesting because the technical analysis, the type of thing Carl talked about that he liked from Mark Kelso, you didn't get much of that from John Madden, did you? You got a lot of grunts. You got a lot of guttural noises. You got a lot of snorts. And and made-up words.
Booms.
Booms. Pows. No, that was Batman. But you know what I mean? John Madden was not a
tough acting, ten acting.
Yes, and a lot of commercials. But he was unique, and he was extremely, extremely listenable and viewable. I mean, viewer-friendly, to be sure, John Madden. And it shows. I mean, he probably would go down in history as the greatest color analyst of all time. That's not what we're asking. We're asking for your favorite. Give us a call, 803-0550, the number. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Pat in Rochester wants to weigh in. Pat, who do you like?
I got to go with Paul McGuire, old Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, Paul McGuire.
I have to say, worst ever, since then. Biggest Bills hater.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second. Hang on the line there for a second, Pat. For Paul McGuire, obviously, I should have mentioned him among the initial guys here. Obviously, he's, for the most part, retired now. But Paul McGuire, I thought, brought the kind of he's almost, to me, a precursor to John Madden, because Paul McGuire brought humor and wit along with insightful analysis to the game. And you never got the sense that Paul McGuire was going to take it too seriously, and yet you knew he knew what he was talking about. I think he is an outstanding broadcaster, Paul McGuire. I work with him a couple of times on Bills preseason games. And, you know, don't let his humor and wit fool you. He knew what he was looking at. He knew who the players were. He was a very good broadcaster. And you don't like Phil Simms because you think he hates the Bills? Why do you say that?
Oh, my gosh. I really listened to any Bills broadcast he does.
He doesn't do many because we don't get the number
one. For the other team every single time.
Yeah,
can't
well. All right, thanks, Pat. Thanks for calling. We're talking about football players or coaches turned broadcasters because we're going to talk with Jay Foreman about this at 8:30. The former Bills linebacker just wrapped up a week at NFL Broadcast Boot Camp. But let's hear from you, your favorite football player or coach turned broadcaster. Lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it by Twitter at John Murphy Show, and a couple of people have done that. Kev C tweets in, Troy Aikman and Chris Collinsworth. Not an Aikman fan. I think Troy Aikman is like the master of the obvious. And I'm not going to bury him here, but the next insightful comment that Troy Aikman provides on a broadcast, to me, would be the first. I really believe that. James from Wanai, who is Hawaii, I think, says, I love Warren Sapp, and for basketball, Kenny the Jet Smith. Okay, I love that NBA show. Everybody does. David Gottfried, how about Michael Strahan? Studio guy. Funny guy, obviously a polished broadcaster who's made his mark in football and non-football shows. I don't think I'd put him on my list of favorites. How about you? Call us up, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We'll do this again for a couple more minutes. Your favorite football player or coach turned broadcaster. Give us a call. Here is Warren on the west side of Buffalo. Hi, Warren. You're on the air.
Hey Mark. How are you?
Great.
Hey, I'd have to say my favorite now is Kirk Herbstreit for college football.
Oh, yeah,
I think he does a phenomenal job, but Herbie's got my vote for sure.
That's a really good point. I didn't get into the college guys, but, boy, that game, I mean, to me, Kirk Herbstreit has prolonged Brent Musburger's career, like maybe by a decade. Don't you agree? I mean, that's how good Kirk Herbstreit is. You know he knows the game. He's got a level of infectious enthusiasm that comes across on TV. I think you're making a really good point as far as college guys.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, along with Mike Patrick as an announcer. I can listen to him do every game. I think he's great on ESPN, too, for the college football. But
I miss Mike Patrick on the NFL. I thought he was pretty good on the NFL.
Yeah, I think you do a solid job, too, Murph. Love listening. I can't wait for the Bills season. Go Bills.
All right, thanks a lot, Warren. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Mike in Cheektowaga. Hello, Mike. Who's your favorite broadcaster who was on the football field as a coach or player? Who would it be, Mike?
First of all, what you said about Paul McGuire was John Madden before John Madden was John Madden.
I think you're right.
As far as broadcasting.
I think I said that. Yeah, you're right. He was.
But mine, I don't want to date myself. I think my older brother told me this one. Danny Dimes. He made it fun.
Yeah.
He was fun to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was just. And you knew he was knowledgeable about the game, so what he said, you paid attention to.
You know,
but he always looked at like the upside of things with the game.
Don Meredith may have been the precursor to Paul McGuire, who was the precursor to John Madden. You know what I mean? Because Meredith really made it fun. Meredith had a lot of fun on the Monday Night Football broadcast, and I think a different dynamic in a three-person booth. When you could let someone else handle the series stuff, in his case, it was Howard Cosell. I mean, that broadcast was all over the place. But Don Meredith was really, really fun. You're right. Thanks very much for your call, Mike. Talking about NFL players or coaches turned broadcasters, who is your favorite? Give us a call. We'll do this for a couple of more minutes here. Glenn in Niagara Falls. Hello, Glenn. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John. How's it going?
Great.
I like couple of ESPN guys, Ron Jaworski and John Gruden.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Jaworski not doing games, but you're right. In fact, Jaws, I understand, is coming back to town next Monday for his annual golf tournament. I think it benefits Baker Victory Services in Lackawanna, but he is great. I mean, the NFL matchup show is just sensational.
Yeah.
Great show.
Yeah, that show on ESPN he does is really insightful.
Yeah, really good show. And Gruden, yeah, I'm surprised it's taken this long for anyone to mention Gruden. I do think Gruden, to me, is almost like an acquired taste, though, because, you know, you can get caught up in the fact that he loves everybody and that he is excited about everybody, but there is insight there. There's a lot of intelligence there, which, excuse me, with John Gruden.
Yeah, I like how he breaks down footwork on quarterbacks and arm angles. He's probably more intelligent than what some people would want to listen to.
I agree. Thanks for your call. We'll go to Dan in Cheektowaga. Hello, Dan. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was going to say Paul McGuire, too, because he was my childhood like excitement. Every time I turn on the game, if he's on, I was like, yeah. But I like James Lofton. He was well-spoken.
Yeah.
James, and a third, like O.J. actually did it for a little bit on the sidelines, right? He was actually kind of good. I didn't mind him.
I think O.J. was in the booth on Monday Night Football for a year or two and then on the sidelines for NBC. Yeah, he was okay at it. Lofton does a lot of radio now, and I happen to listen to a lot of his broadcasts. I believe he did the Super Bowl. I think we had him on the show right before the Super Bowl because, yeah, he's very good. I mean, James is very good. Another very intelligent guy who's made a great transition to not just broadcasting but coaching, too. He coached in the league for several years. Eddie in Lancaster. Eddie, who's your favorite player or coach turned NFL broadcaster?
Well, you just hit on it. Dandy Don Meredith and Howard Coates. I mean, this Joe Ferguson is a tenacity. He just hit Frank Lewis over the center. I love him. I just miss him. And, boy, was it fun watching the guys like Troy Aikman. Are you kidding me? Can you listen to Paint Dry? Because that's what it feels like.
Hey, were you doing an imitation of Cosell, or was that Meredith? Which one?
I was trying to be Cosell.
Oh, okay. That was your best.
You know,
yeah, I got it. Work on a little bit.
You know.
Now,
I did want to say, I also like the guy from Cincinnati, good receiver, Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth, yeah.
Yo, he's good. He's good. I like him.
Okay. All right, thanks for your call. Work on that imitation. We've got a few minutes left here as we talk to our listeners about football broadcasters. We are going to be talking with Jay Foreman, who just completed NFL broadcast boot camp this past week. We'll talk with him at 8:30 tonight. Let's take another call from Chris in Chicago. Hello, Chris. You're on the air. Hello.
John, I like Solomon Wilcox from Cincinnati. I like that he's not biased towards any other teams.
I think you're right about that. He's not my favorite, but you're right. He does play it straight down the middle. You're right about that. I think I've heard Solomon Wilcox. You know when I think he's at his best, believe it or not, is on. I listen to a lot of SiriusXM NFL radio when I'm not on the radio myself. And Wilcox is very good on there, you know, and out of the context of the game. He knows, you know, he's paying attention to all 32 teams, and he can speak pretty intelligently about all 32 teams. That's a good one. Chris in Amherst. Chris, welcome. You're on the air. Who's your favorite player or coach turned NFL broadcaster, Chris?
Well, I think he was probably the most intelligent sportscaster I ever ran across was Todd Christensen.
Oh, yeah, sure. Didn't he just pass away recently? I think he just passed away.
You wouldn't think he would be that intelligent, but he was just brilliant.
Yeah, he was very smart. I think he just passed away recently, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
He was good. He was, if not the lead guy, one of the main guys, anyway, on NBC for a long time in the late 80s and early 90s. A lot of good feedback there. We're going to get some more of these calls on the air as the night goes along, and we are going to talk with Jay Foreman, former Bills linebacker, who may have some thoughts on this at 8:30. He just wrapped up his week at NFL Broadcast Boot Camp. We'll take a break right here, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with the Bills' current linebacker, Preston Brown. He's headed to the NFL Rookie Symposium outside Cleveland this week. We'll talk with him about that. We'll talk with him about OTAs and minicamp, Buffalo's third-round draft pick. Preston Brown coming up next here on the show, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Bottom of the hour sports update from The John Murphy Show. LeBron James going back to free agency in the NBA. He's told the Miami Heat he's going to opt out of the final 2 years of his contract. No guarantee he'll be in a Miami uniform next season. The NHL hands out its annual postseason awards in Las Vegas tonight. Pittsburgh's Sidney Crosby, Anaheim's Ryan Getzlaff, and Philadelphia's Claude Giroux finalist for the Hart Trophy is MVP. Tiger Woods will return to golf this week. He's going to play Congressional, and he aims to play in the British Open. He says he has no pain for the first time in nearly 2 years after back surgery on March 31st. The sports update from the John Murphy Show. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. The NFL news, the NFL world is sort of focused on the suburbs of Cleveland this week for the NFL Rookie Symposium. Draft picks from every team in the NFL will arrive in Aurora, Ohio over the next few days. The NFC rookies are there right now. The AFC rookies, including the Bills, arrive there tomorrow and stay there through Saturday for the NFL Rookie Symposium. On the line with us now, one of Buffalo's rookies, the third-round draft pick from Louisville, linebacker Preston Brown joins us. Preston, thanks for being on the air with us tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
The 17th rookie symposium in the NFL, obviously your first. Tell me about this. What have they told you? What do you expect this week at the symposium outside Cleveland?
They just told us to be ready to get a lot of info and just take it all in. We're going to hear from a lot of great speakers out here, so just go in there with open mind and try to learn as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you saw probably some of the names, Eddie George, LeVar Arrington, Chris Carter, Warwick Dunn. There's some big-name guys there, Warren Sapp, including current players, Tyrann Mathieu of the Arizona Cardinals, Bears guard Kyle Long. Both current and former players are there. Do players get excited to see stars like that, do you think, Preston? I mean, will you be excited to see some of those big names?
Oh, yeah, of course I'll be excited. I mean, just growing up being a football fan, seeing those guys on TV as a young kid, wanting to be like them and now being in their same situation is going to be great and try to get as much info as I can from those guys.
Hey, Preston, last week we had one of the organizers from the league on the show telling us in part about the rookie symposium. And she said one of the things they focus on with the rookies is teaching them a little bit about NFL history. I'm not going to quiz you. But do you know much NFL history? I mean, have you followed the game and know, a little bit about the history of the game?
I know a little bit. I mean, my dad, he's a real NFL historian kind of guy, always been into that. But I know a little bit here and there. I mean, just being around him, I always had to watch and really took it in.
Were you a Bengals fan growing up?
Oh, yeah, I was growing up, yeah.
And you had some good seasons there the last few years. They were a fun team to follow in recent years, I would think, down there in Cincinnati, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, recently, yeah.
Preston Brown, Bills linebacker on the line with us, Buffalo's third-round pick out of Louisville, native of Cincinnati. They're also, they say, at the symposium, Preston, this week, going to talk to the rookies about wellness. How important do you think that is? Do you have, like, questions you want to know about keeping yourself fit and keeping yourself healthy so you can enjoy a long and productive NFL career?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's something I really want to get answered. Coming from guys who played 10, 12, 15 years in the league, I want to know how they kept their body to maintain the hits and the physicality of such a physical game. So that's one of the biggest things you got to learn from those guys is how they were able to maintain themselves over those years.
What do you think the secret of that might be? I mean, what kind of answers do you think you'll get to that question?
I mean, I'm sure it has to do something with just eating right. I mean, that's one of the biggest things. When you put in your body, it helps you perform out there. So, and just their off-season regimens, what they do in this break, in this 4 to 6 week period between mini camp to the real camp, when it starts going, what are they doing to prepare themselves before camp? So just learn anything I can and try to get better.
My understanding of the symposium also, Preston, and this probably seems a long way off since you're just getting started in your NFL career, but my understanding is they also talk a little bit about life after football. Here you are going into your first training camp in a month or so. Have you thought at all about life after football? Is that something that rookies even consider at this point?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've thought about this ever since I was a young kid. I mean, I want to play. Then I told Coach Strong I was going to be his strength coach after I'm done with this. So that's my plan after football.
Did Coach Strong offer you the job?
He didn't offer me the job, yeah, because he has a pretty good one now. But I'll be an assistant or whatever I can do to be around football.
And the other thing I guess they talk about, and it's pretty important these days in the NFL, is workplace conduct and having the proper atmosphere about the locker room. How much of that sort of training do you get in college football, Preston, and how much do they talk about that in college?
With our coaching staff in college, I mean, we talked about it a lot, just the locker room, how do you maintain yourself around the building. We really, really took that in because when we first got there, guys were kind of stealing and doing things like that, but we really came more of a family kind of atmosphere down there in Louisville, so guys could leave their lockers open, leave phones out, stuff. So just little manners here and there that you might not think about, but just locker room and how you carry yourself around the building. The
NFL is real sensitive about this because of what went on in Miami last year. Have you ever witnessed any, like, over-the-top bullying or anything like that in your football career?
Not me personally. I've never witnessed anything like that, but I know it goes on. But I hear that they're cutting down on it, and the guys are getting more mature and just getting better about that. So I think it's coming to an end now.
Preston Brown, Bills linebacker, on the line with us, getting set to go to the NFL Rookie Symposium the next few days. He'll be arriving outside Cleveland tomorrow to start it. I wonder, Preston, how much of these issues have you already discussed in the weeks that you've been here with the Buffalo Bills, drafted, almost 6-7 weeks ago now by the Buffalo Bills? Have they touched on some of these issues already before you get with their other draft picks from around the league?
Oh, yes. We had rookie meetings basically every day after practices, getting the basic info about the NFL and talking about the bullying and just money, financial planning, and everything you can think of under the sun. We have meetings about everything just to better ourselves and get as much info as we can as we continue our careers.
And are most players interested in that, or do they view that as just a chore? Let's get this over so I can get onto the football.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the biggest parts of it. So, I mean, I think most of the guys are really taking this seriously, are taking it in, and just, like I said, just trying to get as much info as possible and try to better themselves.
Hey, Preston, you're coming off, a pretty whirlwind period here. The draft was, May 8th. You got drafted, I believe, on May 9th, that Saturday, and then the rookie minicamp was just a week or so later. And since then, since the rookie minicamp, May 17th, you've really been busy here at One Bills Drive. Do you feel like your head is spinning since mid-May?
It's really just been fun. I've been taking it all in every day ever since, after our bowl game, just going through all these East-West game and going to the combine. It's really been a great experience so far. Now, to start my NFL career out there with the veterans now in minicamp, it was really a great experience to get out there with those guys and just have some fun.
How much different did things change from the rookie camp to the OTAs to the minicamp last week? There was no contact, obviously, which is going to be a big part of your game. But did you feel that it got more intense as the thing built up towards last week's minicamp?
Oh, yeah, you could feel it turning up every day. I mean, throughout OTAs, you can see it building and building. But with those last couple of days of minicamps, guys are kind of getting a little restless that they couldn't hit each other. So you can see it coming out in each other's eyes and how they were just flying around a lot more. So it was starting to get a lot more fun. I mean, you can tell the camp is going to be a lot of fun this year.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the same thing. Those last few days of the mini camp, there were like 2-minute drills and red zone, and all of a sudden it got pretty competitive. Even though nobody was hitting, it got pretty competitive. That had to be kind of fun to end it like that, I would think.
Yeah, it was fun to be a part of that. Just see everybody getting fired up and ready to go at each other. I mean, just a competitive spirit, just going to make each other better every day.
Preston, you got to be fairly happy, I would think, with the way the mini camp went for you, the OTAs and mini camp, because you pretty much were lined up as the second team middle linebacker after Brandon Spikes, and you even got some run with the number ones with the first team, didn't you?
Yes.
Tell me about that experience, what you learned from that, and did you feel like, were you surprised that you got that much that many snaps in the OTAs and mini camp?
Well, I guess I was surprised. I mean, coming in, I was the third team, just the rookie guy. So, I mean, I was just trying to learn every day from Spikes. I mean, I got a great guy in front of me that I can learn from every day. So when coach throws me out there to get an opportunity to play, I was just trying to show the coaches that they can have faith in me to go out there and make some plays. So that was really my main goal throughout many camp OTAs.
As the middle linebacker, the Mike linebacker, you were calling the defensive signals also, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How difficult was that for you?
That probably was the easiest part. I mean, I've been doing that for the last couple of years at Louisville, and it's kind of really the same kind of system that we ran back at school. So just learning a new language, that was the biggest thing. But once I get it, I'm just out there having fun, telling guys what to do.
I saw Coach Schwartz signaling in place, but did they use the helmet headset as well to call in the defensive signals, or was it all hand signals?
Oh, it's all hand signals right now.
Eventually they can put the earpiece in your helmet, right, and they'll call them in via the radio, I would think, right?
Yeah, but now he said we're just doing that just in case for the no huddle and all the other situations we get.
Yep. The other thing, Preston, you got a lot of run with the package defenses, the dime defense. You were out there a lot. Are you used to that playing in three-down situations, third-down situations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the last 3 years, I was playing nickel and dime and all our joker package that we had back at school. So I have fun in those packages because that's when you get to the pass and the ball. So that's the opportunity to get a hand on the ball or get after the quarterback. So that's probably the most fun for me, being out there on third down.
Do you feel that people want to pigeonhole you as just a run stuffer, that maybe you have more to offer than just, you know, first and second down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I read all articles and they say I'm just a two-down thumper. So, that I mean, that's just more motivation to me. Just know I've been out there playing the pass since I was 6 years old, so I have fun playing the pass.
A couple of weeks ago, right around Father's Day, Preston, our man Chris Brown wrote a great story for the website, BuffaloBills.com, about you and the relationship with your father, who wound up as your coach in high school in Cincinnati, right? What was that like? How did you like that?
Oh, I loved being with my dad my senior year of high school. I mean, he started coaching me when I was around 6 years old, playing Little League, and ever since then we kind of just had that great bond about football. We could talk about it all day. So, I mean, it was a great story, and I was proud to read it with my dad.
I think in Chris's story, he talked about how when you were a little kid, your dad would bring, you know, game film home and watch game film, I believe, in the basement of your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Were you sitting there with him, watching it with him?
Yeah, I'll sit down and watch him because he was a Cincinnati public coach, so he'd be down there trying to break down film, and I'll have a little notebook or something, writing stuff down and not knowing what I was writing, but I'm just sitting down there with my dad, spending time with him, and he was teaching me things, and I'm acting like I know what he's talking about, but it was always fun being down there with him, just watching him, just watching football.
How much did you benefit from that kind of exposure to the game at such an early age?
The one thing I think I benefited just from film study, I mean, just being around it at an early age really helped me now throughout my college and hopefully in my NFL career, just being able to study film, being able to sit there for hours and not get bored watching film, because that's something I think younger guys really, they get bored by film, but I really enjoy and I can watch it all day.
Preston Brown is our guest, Bills linebacker, middle linebacker, third-round pick from Louisville. He's going to the Rookie Symposium. What do you hope to get out of the Rookie Symposium this week, Preston?
That's a good – the secrets and the info from the NFL greats that will be there this weekend, and some info, financial planning, and anything else I can gain. So I'm just going in with open mind, trying to gain as much info as I can this weekend.
And you mentioned how you've pretty much been going nonstop since the end of your season with Louisville, with the All-Star games and the combine and the draft and all the workouts. So when the symposium ends this week, by my count, you'll have about 3 weeks off until you have to go to Rochester to training camp. What's your plan for those 3 weeks, Preston?
Those 3 weeks, I'll be back training with my dad in Cincinnati and at our training facility up at Ignition in Cincinnati, and just trying to get ready for camp because there's not really that much time we can go off a vacation and like that. It's just trying to get ready for camp right now.
It's coming quickly. Preston, have fun in Cleveland this weekend. Thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight. Good luck down there.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Preston Brown is the third-round draft pick of the Bills, middle linebacker from Louisville, and he and the rest of the Bills rookies are headed to the NFL Rookie Symposium. It's the 17th annual. The NFC rookies are there now. The Bills and the AFC rookies arrive there tomorrow, stay through Saturday with special symposium topics of history, wellness, professional experience, workplace conduct, some all-time greats, including Aeneas Williams, Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee this year, will be there to talk to these rookies about what it's like, what it's really like to be in the NFL, the NFL Rookie Symposium this week. They also take a tour of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Preston and the Bills rookies, the AFC rookies, will be there Friday, 9:30 in the morning. That's the way you get immersed in NFL history, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right down the road in Canton, Ohio. Take a break, come back with more if you'd like to chime in on our earlier topic. Who is the best? Who is your favorite former player or coach turned NFL broadcaster? We'll have time for a few more calls. Phone lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Preston Brown, Bills third-round draft pick, for joining us tonight, talking to us about this weekend and the Rookie Symposium. They do put a lot of programs in place for these players, and it's good. They should. There's plenty of money to do it. I wish him well down there, all the Bills, all the NFL rookies, and hope they pay attention. Some good advice there about what to do, what not to do. We're in studio tonight. Again, thanks to the folks at NOCO Express, Maine, and Youngs in Williamsville. Last night we had a great time out there. Fred Jackson was there. Really good, solid show. We'll be doing more of those NOCO remotes. Thanks to all the folks who came out. I want to say there were I don't know, several hundred fans who came out to see Fred Jackson shake his hand and get an autograph, and Fred was more than happy to oblige. I know people enjoyed doing that, got a chance to come on the radio show as well. And again, we'll be doing more of that as the next several months move along. A couple of NFL notes tonight. The San Diego Chargers have agreed to terms with a one-year deal with former Chiefs cornerback Brandon Flowers, according to several sources. He was a starter for 6 years with the Chiefs, released on June 13th. Had a really off season last year, but made the Pro Bowl, even though he did not have a good season. Chiefs GM John Dorsey wants to get bigger at cornerback, and Brandon Flowers, 5'9", struggled in the Chiefs' new defensive system. And so he is out of Kansas City and agreed to a one-year deal with San Diego. I think that's a good pickup. I think size notwithstanding, he's a really good player, Brandon Flowers. The Dolphins hit hard by the injury bug. You probably have heard this by now. Pro Bowl center Mike Pouncey underwent hip surgery yesterday. He's expected to miss at least 3 months. That would take him out of the first meeting with the Bills on Sunday, September 14th, the Bills' home opener. Meantime, Dolphins running back Knowshon Moreno is going to undergo arthroscopic knee surgery this week. He's going to miss 4 to 5 weeks. They hope to have him back in time for the start of the preseason. But Pouncey's expected to be out, as we said, for 3 months, the start of the regular season. He also faces a possible suspension from the NFL. He's the only player implicated in last year's bullying scandal who is still on the Dolphins roster. He tore a labrum in his hip sometimes during the Dolphins' offseason workouts. Maybe he knows that there's a suspension coming, and that's why he had the surgery. Maybe he didn't have a choice. And finally, from New England, a tentative date has been set for a trial for former Patriots star Aaron Hernandez. He's going to stand trial next year in May on murder charges from the 2012 drive-by slayings of two men. He's pleaded not guilty to killing the two men. During a hearing today, the lawyers asked the judge to issue a gag order prohibiting anyone involved in the case from commenting outside court. Prosecutors objected, saying they had not made any improper comments. The judge did not issue a ruling on that at all. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour, and when we return, we've got a busy second hour coming up. We're going to talk about a brand-new league that's trying to get off the ground this fall, the FXFL, the Fall Experimental Football League. It's a great idea, I think. Somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to find a path to the NFL that does not involve the corruption of college football, at least an alternate path to go along with college football. We'll talk with the commissioner of the FXFL, Brian Woods, coming up in the next hour here on the show. We're going to talk with Jay Foreman, former Bills linebacker, about his experience at broadcast boot camp this past week as well. So one more hour to go. Make sure you come back for it. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like that kind of party, baby.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show here until 9 o'clock tonight with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Jay Foreman, former Bills linebacker, who's gone on to a second career in business, but he's also looking at a broadcast career, apparently. Jay Foreman just wrapped up a week of training at NFL Films in New Jersey, part of the NFL's broadcast boot camp. We'll talk with Jay Foreman about that. It sounds like an idea whose time has come. There's been an awful lot of talk about it in recent months, a developmental league. They have it in baseball. They have, of course, minor leagues in baseball. That's been going on for decades, if not longer than that. They have it, obviously, in basketball, the D-League, the NBA D-League, a developmental league for prospects. Why not in football, right? Why not a developmental league for the National Football League? Well, there are plans in the works for a developmental league that will start play this October. It is the Fall Experimental Football League, the FXFL. And joining us on the line right now is the commissioner of the FXFL, Brian Woods. Brian, thank you for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you, John. Thanks for having me on.
I'm curious, first of all, about the name, the Fall Experimental Football League. What's experimental about it? What are you going to be doing? People wearing lab coats and stuff? What's going on?
not that extensive, but but we have a couple of patents, and we are definitely going to exploit some technology, utilize it, try to make the game a little more interactive for the fans. So there's definitely going to be a technology component involved in our league, and hence the name Fall Experimental Football. If not experimental, let's try it out, and it's gone in 1 year. Definitely more on the technology side.
I gotcha. Brian, I think it's a great idea. I started talking about this on a radio show a year ago or more, and a lot of it because of the problems that exist in college football and the fact that college football at the highest level is so tough now to, you know, to run a clean program and to get players ready for the NFL. But it seems more and more everybody's coming around to the realization that there's got to be another way to develop players for the highest level of football. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree, and I think with the 2011 collective bargaining agreement, it kind of set this league, the need for the league in motion rather quickly. I mean, in 2010, you had around 52, 53 underclassmen declare early for the draft. After the 2011 collective bargaining agreement was put into place, it, you know, changed the rookie contract structure. It cut down the number of padded practices a team could have, and it led to this huge just influx of junior players. And so this year we had over 110 junior players declare. But more importantly, John, almost 40% of these players went undrafted. So these are kids that are going to go to camp with not a great chance of making the squad, making the team, making that 53-man active roster, even maybe a practice squad spot. And they need a place to go. And I think now more than ever, it's a time to do it. And we've seen the success of the NBA D League, not just with players, but with coaches, you know, referees. The minor league baseball system has been successful for many, many years. And I think the time has come for a developmental league and a place to develop young players. And I think we have a good structure for them. We have a good model in place to make it sustainable.
Brian, even at the highest reaches of the NFL, people are saying that. Can I play a quick soundbite? This was Troy Vincent. He's the NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations. We had him on our show a couple weeks ago on May 29th. And on our show, Brian, here's what Troy Vincent said. He almost talked about the inevitability of a developmental league for the National Football League.
You know, it's something that we have to do. It's just a matter of time. And I want to just make sure that I'm exploring all opportunities, that it's I'm being fiscally responsible, that to make making sure that we are developing the player properly. Again, getting a bunch of different perspectives. I'm compiling notes and files. It is work in progress. I don't have a timeline, but it is something that eventually we should be seeing in the future.
That's Troy Vincent, the NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations. Brian Woods, the commissioner of the FXFL, on the line with us live right now. And, Brian, you heard him say it. He said, you know, it's something that we've got to do. It is almost inevitable, it sounds.
Yeah, it's definitely, I believe, inevitable. But I think that, again, even coming from the league office, you and I both know that the owners run the league. And I think a lot of them still have a sour taste left in their mouth from NFL Europe. I mean, that was a purported developmental league, but you and I both know that was a commercial league, and they spent a lot of money, and to the detriment of a lot of the owners involved. And so before many of them vote on this, which I'm sure they would have to do at some point before they jump head first back into this, they need to make sure that what is the true intention of it? Is it a commercial league? Is it a developmental league? And so I think that we've designed a model that can allow, if the NFL does choose in the near future to get involved with us officially, I think we have a financial structure, you know, going into smaller venues, keeping the cost. Why should we be paying these players $6,000 and $7,000 a game when they barely make that on a practice squad in the NFL? So I think that when we designed the model, we looked at what minor league baseball did well. We looked at what the NBA D League did, and cost containment has been a top priority for us. So I really think that the NFL would be, would benefit from being involved with this at some point, because we can develop players properly, and I think we have the financial structure to be around for a while.
Brian, I'm curious about the distinctions you make between a commercial league and a developmental league. What you said NFL Europe, you described as a commercial league. Can you explain what you have in mind when you say that?
Well, I guess the way I look at it is when they formed NFL Europe for what they called developmental purposes, I think it was flawed from the get-go. Number one, it was a spring league. Okay, so if your true intention is to develop young players, let's be developing them in season. Let's not develop them and send them to a foreign country when your team is back home going through mini camp, going through OTAs, and your players aren't even working with your coaches. That's not. And I think the other thing is they went into very big venues over there. So the way I looked at it is NFL Europe was an experiment to see if we can't get people in Europe excited about American football, not so much to develop young players, because I think if you're really trying to develop young players, you need to be doing it in season, and you need to have a way very similar to minor league baseball and the NBA that does their, plays their games and conducts their practices during their parent league season. I think it needs to coincide that way. So I think that the model we've created is we're not dependent on TV revenue. We're keeping costs down, and I think our true intention is to hire good coaches, to develop young coaches, just like the NBA D League and minor league baseball does. And so I think it's there's a definite distinction between our league and what NFL Europe was.
We're on the line with Brian Woods. He's commissioner of the Fall Experimental Football League, the FXFL. I want to dive into your model here in a second, Brian, but just give us a little bit of your background. You're an attorney, right? Where are you, in Mississippi, or where are you? Where are you living?
No, I was a walk-on defensive back at Ole Miss. I was a graduate assistant football coach for 2 years under Dan McCarney at Iowa State, and I'm a sports lawyer by trade. I'm actually in New York City. I'm based in New York.
Okay, but you seem to have the complete resume for this, right? With a background in sports and in the law. That's good.
I do. Yeah, I have I think I have an interesting pedigree and a guy who's been around the sport. This past year, I served as the executive director of a new All-Star game in Charleston, South Carolina. We had 72 of our 96 players landed on NFL rosters.
Yeah.
So I think I have a decent eye for talent as well. So I think the skills to make this league, run this league, oversee the operations, the day-to-day, and give it our best shot and try to be around for more than just a year.
Yeah, that game in Charleston, the Medal of Honor Bowl, right? And you had our old pal Chan Gailey coaching one of the teams, right? This past
he did. Yeah. Chan was actually he was great. He did an outstanding job, and we had a great week with him there in Charleston.
All right, back to the FXFL. You've talked about your model. Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of what the FXFL would look like?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, this year we're going to start with six teams. There could be a possibility that we start with one less, only because some of our East Coast interests are a little concerned with the travel situation of having one West Coast team this year. So there could be a situation where we've talked about Portland and been very serious with Portland moving forward with them and their group out there. But there could be a situation where Portland becomes a year two team. But I think that, the idea is to start and make it manageable. We're going to have a six-game regular season this year. Next year we'll expand to an eight-game regular season schedule. And I don't think we'll ever go probably more than 8 to 10 games, because the idea, again, is we're going to start and we're going to allocate, have our player drafts, our free agent signings, if you will, that first week in September, right after the NFL has their final roster cut down from 75 to 53. And there's going to be a lot of good young players out there, especially this year. There's going to be more of these juniors guys that declared early, that get cut, now they're done. They can't go back to college. They have no choice. They have 3 years of college. They don't even have a formal degree. So we're going to give these guys an opportunity to continue to pursue their goal of landing on an active roster and get back to the NFL. But six teams, six-game regular season schedule this year. And we're going to start Wednesday, October 1st will be our first night. Will be our opening kickoff.
Right, six teams, six cities, six different owners, or is there one owner for the entire league, for every team?
No, it's definitely a multiple entity structure, very similar to the NFL. The league right now is, on paper at least, owns two of the teams. The rest of the teams will have and do have ownership interest, but that's rapidly changing. The league has gotten, I've gotten support from a lot of people. They really think this is a great model. Financially, one of our partners is Alan Pace. He's a top executive with Citigroup, and so we've had a lot of the top Wall Street guys look at it and say, this makes sense, this is sustainable, and more business people, very notable business people, are getting involved with our efforts. So while we own two of the teams right now on paper, it's looking like that's going to be changed. So before we even have our first kickoff, I think we'll have an owner for every market.
Which six cities are you looking at, and what kind of venues do you anticipate playing in, Brian?
Yeah, smaller. I mean, again, cost containment's the priority, so most of our partners, we're looking, obviously, we're going to be in New York. We're going to be in Boston. We're going to be in Omaha. We're going to be in South Florida and Austin, Texas. And then, of course, Portland would be our number six. And in most of those situations, with Omaha, we're going to be playing in TD Park where they're currently conducting the College World Series. New York would be a minor league park venue. But all of our stadiums are the smaller venues, 20,000 or less. You know, to me, if we get 5,000 and 6,000 people at our games, we're going to be very happy with the bottom line. I'll just tell you from a financial perspective. But we do think we can do better than that because at the end of the day, even though we say it's a minor league model, it's a major league product. And the level of talent that we're going to have on the field is, I think, going to be, you know, very impressive.
Ryan, there's NFL football occupying people's attention on Sunday, Monday, Thursday. There's college football on Thursday and Saturday. High school football is big, many areas on Fridays and Saturdays. When would your league play its games?
We're going to play on Wednesday night. So you just proved my point right there. We don't want to conflict with existing high school, college, or disrupt the apple cart with the NFL. So we feel like that Wednesday night is the appropriate night for us to play our games, and I think it bodes well for us, even with a TV partner.
We're on the line with Brian Woods. He's the commissioner of the new Fall Experimental Football League, the FXFL. Just talking for him about this, talking with him about this for a couple more minutes. We talked about the players, Brian. Well, players, you mentioned you wait until after the final cutdown. Would it be a choice between, you know, the Buffalo Bills practice squad or playing in the FXFL, or would it not be that much of a choice? Would they stay?
No, I think in if they are retained as a practice squad player, based on what we're paying our players, I would imagine that an agent would gladly tell a kid very quickly you need to stay with the Bills and their practice squad opportunity. I think practice squad salary this year is going to be somewhere around $6,300 a week. We're paying roughly $1,000 a game.
Okay.
We also are going to be planning to provide a housing program in all our markets and some type of meal program as well. So I think, yeah, if the choice is there, we're going to be getting guys. But even that being said, I know there's different teams and they have different philosophies, and some decide we want to take one guy in our practice squad as a receiver. We might take two receivers. Just depends on what they feel like their needs are this year, how many veterans they have at each position. So when they make that cut down from 75 to 53, and then you got a young man who's been there, let's say at the receiver spot, and maybe he could easily land on another practice squad with another team, but he's been with that team learning their system throughout the entire training camp. Sometimes it's just a numbers game. And mm-hmm. I would make the argument that sometimes it's not the best athlete. It's the guy who makes the fewest mistakes. And I think that, you know, the difference between an undrafted rookie free agent and a fourth round pick is splitting hairs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and I both know there's not an exact science. So we're still going to get a high level product coming to us and trying to develop them and get them back.
What about the other end of the player pool spectrum? The old veteran who wants to hang on, wants to keep playing, you know, what about Ocho Cinco or Terrell Owens or somebody like that? I mean,
yeah, you know, I think, John, my position is this simply. If we start to take on players like that, then we're not holding true to our model and what we stand for. And we really want to be a developmental league. We've had reporters talk to us about Tim Tebow, and the answer is no, we're not interested in Tim Tebow. This is not what this league is about. This league is about actually giving guys who have a true opportunity to make an NFL roster, with provide them with development. So really, this year's class, the guys that you see us procure with this year's inaugural season, they're going to be no more than probably 2 years removed from college. And then once guys land on our rosters, they're going to only spend a maximum of 3 years with us. And if they're not back in the NFL at that point, it's pretty much, you know, the writing's on the wall for them. You can make that determination rather quickly.
And, Brian, what about guys who, you know, academically ineligible for NCAA, maybe didn't even go to college? Will you have 19-year-old players?
This is where I don't want to offend anybody, speaking of your affiliation in the National Football League, but look, the NBA D League still takes them right out of high school. Minor league baseball, Major League Baseball will draft players right out of high school. And so I do think there should be another platform for a player other than college football. I really believe that. They're not student-athletes anymore. They're athletes first, and really that's all they do. And they keep them eligible for as long as they can. And so I think if you look around the college landscape with the players unionizing at Northwestern, and you see these case after case in federal court against the NCAA, I think you're going to see some drastic changes very soon. I think the unionization of the players at Northwestern were just the start of that. But I think we're going to look at hardships on a case-by-case basis. And if a young man academically just can't make it, then I think we would definitely look at giving them an opportunity.
I think you're right about that. I think you're onto something there. I think, just my opinion, I think there is a day of reckoning coming for big-time college sports that may make a developmental league for all, for at least football and basketball, make it critical, I think. But that's another issue. A couple of other wrinkles about your league. The officials, you're going to have you see it as like a training ground for officials, too, to work in some pro football?
I do, and I think that, again, I would say that obviously we're working toward a goal of having a relationship with the National Football League, and I would say that I think that that's probably where they see probably the quickest benefit to them is there is no other place right now for them to train prospective NFL officials. The college game, the arena football, these leagues and different avenues, the rules deviate too much. So why not put them in our league? We're going to use, I would say, 98% of NFL rules. We're looking at maybe making some adjustments to our kicking game to make the game a little safer. But I think that that's where we can offer a benefit to the National Football League immediately. This is a place to train your referees. Since 2001, every official that's come to the NBA has come to the NBA via the NBA Developmental League. So it's not just for players. Our league is for players, it's for coaches, and it's for referees.
You mentioned the kicking game, and I read a report that said your league may envision no punts, no kickoffs, take the kicking right out of football?
Yeah. I think that, number one, I think that there would be more scoring if you eliminate the punt altogether. I think the most frustrating thing for me, not only as a former player or coach, but as a fan, is nothing more to watch your team drive to the opponent's 46. Or worse, I've seen a college football game where they drive to the opponent's 37, and they line up and punt.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing in the world to me. They punt 20 yards, and it's a net of like – they punt into the end zone, and it's a net of like 16 yards. So I think that we're looking at eliminating the kicking game in various aspects for fan enjoyment. I think it would make the game a little more exciting, but I also think we can make the game safer. I think you look at the kickoff primarily and the punt, and that's the play in football where you have the highest incident for injury. So we really want to make the game safer, and I think we can make it a little more exciting as well. We're definitely, I can tell you for sure, that we will definitely not have the traditional extra point punt or the traditional point after try that the National Football League has. We're definitely going to have more of a two-point conversion type setup on that.
Hey, Brian, is television part of your model for the FXFL? And, in fact, do you need a television contract to make this thing go financially?
No, you don't. And that's what I've told people all along, that it's not predicated on TV revenue. And I mean that in the sense that Minor League Baseball has existed for many, many years without it. And the NBA D-League has, I think they have a limited number of games on CBS Sports Network, and I think they do some things. They've done some things through YouTube. But we're not looking for a TV rights fee. And if we have television, which we will have this year on a smaller scale, it's more of an exposure thing just for the players and for the league itself, but not because we absolutely need it. Because to me, the success doesn't lie in the national brand of the league per se. To me, the success is at the local level. So.
And you've said a couple of times about establishing something of a partnership with the National Football League. How far down the road have you gone with that, and how important is that to the FXFL?
Well, you know, I definitely appreciate the discretion of all the parties involved and when we're having talks and so on and so forth. And I can tell you that obviously my long-term goal is to have an official relationship with the National Football League, and I'm definitely working toward that, and we hope that we can have that bridge. We can make inroads with them, rather quickly with this.
And you're going to be up and running this October. You'll be playing games this October.
We will. And, John, we're going to have uniforms and helmets and everything.
We're going to be ready. Sure. I'm sure you will. Yeah.
We've been very clandestine in our operations. I think that's what's thrown a lot of people off. So when they've seen these announcements, they're like, wait a second, how are you going to get this league off the ground in 90 days? Well, I can assure you that we haven't been planning yesterday. We've been behind the scenes doing a lot of things, and that includes working with apparel manufacturers and equipment dealers and all the things that we need to do to assist our local ownership and get them up and running rather quickly. And the other thing is some of our partnerships are in minor league baseball venues. They're providing some marketing support. So we have boots on the ground in most of our local markets at this point and are ready to mobilize rather quickly.
Well, I wish you luck, Brian, on this. I think it's a great idea because it's something that, as I said, I think there's a Armageddon coming for big-time college football very shortly, and I think the NFL will benefit from this, and I hope this works. We may check back with you in a couple of months as this thing picks up steam, if that's all right. Would that be okay?
That would be excellent, John. I really appreciate the forum tonight to talk about the league, and I appreciate you and what you're doing. And I just hope that we can make you proud in our efforts this fall, and we can be around for many years to come.
I hope so, too. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, take care.
Brian Woods, commissioner of the brand-new Fall Experimental Football League, the FXFL. You can go to their Twitter site if you want to learn more. They have a website as well. The Twitter is GoFXFL. I think it's a great idea. I do. I've talked about that. Mentioned it to Troy Vincent at the end of May. My pal Bill Polian was talking about it way back in the early springtime about the need for a developmental league. I think there is one, and I think it would solve a lot of problems on both the college football level and help the NFL. I think it would fix college football more than it would help the NFL, to tell you the truth. But I hope this works. I think he's onto something really good there. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And a sports update at the bottom of the hour from the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. The NHL awards are coming out tonight. The NHL Rookie of the Year, Colorado Avalanche forward Nathan MacKinnon, near unanimous choice with 130 first-place votes. He's 18, the youngest Calder Trophy winner ever. The Norris Trophy goes to Duncan Keith of the Chicago Blackhawks, his second. He is the outstanding defenseman. And the Frank Selke Trophy is the outstanding defensive forward in the game. Goes to Boston Bruins center Patrice Bergeron. Bergeron wins the Selke for the second time in 3 years. And that's an update on sports on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Here on the air till 9 o'clock tonight with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to be in touch with our next guest, Jay Foreman, in a moment. He's going to talk to us about NFL broadcast boot camp last week. But you can weigh in now. Anything you've heard tonight, I really found that discussion pretty fascinating about the developmental league with Brian Woods, and you may have some thoughts on that. Or on the topic that we started the show with, your favorite player, coach, turned broadcaster in the NFL. Phone lines open, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to Sean in Riverside. Sean, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Murph?
Okay.
I was wondering about that developmental league. Now, is that all just rookies that's been drafted, or is it free agents?
Oh, no, everybody. Free agents, rookies. If you heard Brian Wood say, maybe even some high school players, guys who never played college football, he believes they'll be a year or two removed from their rookie year in the NFL. But think about it. And he went through the process, Brian did, a few minutes ago. Think about the guys who come to camp, 90 players who go to camp around the NFL, and they'll cut into 75, and then they'll cut to 53 in the first week of September, and then add about, eight more for the practice squad. So each team, 30 teams, have about 30 players on their roster now who will not be on their roster when the season begins on September 4th this year. So 30 times 32, what are we talking about, 900 players, right? So, I mean, there's a talent pool there. 900 players, they can pick the best of the best. They're not all going to be young guys, and they don't want the old guys, as Brian said. They want the young guys, guys who are going to be developed. That's the concept. That's the idea of the thing. I think it's a really good idea, and I think it does have a lot to do with a day of reckoning that's coming in the in big-time college sports. Thanks very much for your call. We talk a lot about players in the prime of their career, the young part of their career, and we talked earlier tonight with Bills rookie linebacker Preston Brown about the NFL Rookie Symposium. Part of what they do at the Rookie Symposium is talk with them a little bit about life after football, and players make their own way once their football career ends. A Buffalo Bills draft pick in 1999, he was the fifth-round pick out of Nebraska, and he has now embarked on several different career paths, including possibly broadcasting. Jay Foreman is on the line with us right now. Bills draft pick from Nebraska. Jay, how are you? Thanks very much for being on the show with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. You just came back from NFL boot camp, broadcast boot camp at NFL Films last week. Before we ask you how that went, tell me how you got there. What about your interest in broadcasting? You've done a little bit already, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been trying to get into actually that particular boot camp for almost 5 years. I was denied, I think, for 3 or 4 years, and I just kept at it. And as every year I got denied, I was fortunate enough to reach the different channels with different teams that I played with and do whether it was a weekly show or get on TV and obviously get the reps I needed in order to be successful in getting into the camp. So in that case, I just kept at it. I used the same attitude as I used you know, when I was a player. You know, obviously I was a fifth-round pick. I wasn't the first-round pick, so I had to, you know, outwork a lot of people, and that's what I did to get there. And now, you know, I think I have a couple opportunities, I call them soft opportunities until you get your, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered, but I think it was well worth the wait.
People should note that it is difficult to get into that broadcast boot camp, right? There's, I think, what do they have, 25, 30 spots open, right? 25?
25 total, 19 first year broadcast guys and 6 advanced guys. So the advanced guys are guys that were at the same boot camp that I was at for level, and then they went on, either they're working full-time or part-time at a radio station or a TV channel or something like that. So they're trying to make that huge leap up into, I guess, the big time. And so they're on the cusp of where they're at. And it's very, I guess, competitive to get in. You know, hundreds of guys get turned away. And I know the feeling when you get turned away, but I'm just happy I got in this year.
Jay Foreman, our guest, he is a former Buffalo Bills linebacker, 3 years with the Bills, 3 years after that with the Houston Texans. And, Jay, you've been in and around the Houston Texans broadcast team for the last few years, haven't you?
Yeah, I do a weekly show on 6:10 a.m. That's pretty much the Houston Texans radio show. And then I do with the different TV networks down there in Houston, you know, when I'm down there. And then also I've done some periodic work with Comcast Sportsnet with the Houston affiliate. So I'm, you know, just trying to, every time I either go to training camp or, you know, a weekly basis with Houston or a team I used to play with, I'm trying to obviously, you know, hone my skills, but then also get out there as much as possible.
What aspect of the broadcast, football broadcast business do you like, Jay? And what do you see yourself doing?
Well, I really enjoy, in studio analyst or game analyst, just because that comes natural to me, because I had to really outwork and outstudy people. And you had to, you know, to be able to articulate a play or articulate a player or give a, you know, an insightful story, that's really second nature to me. So I guess, I wouldn't say the easiest, but the easiest spot for me to slide in would be one of those two. But I also like interviewing people, getting to know people as well. So, you know, it's we covered everything that you could think of as far as being in the media. Some things I was, you know, new to, and, you know, one of the things I never had done before was, you know, reading off a teleprompter. And so that was a pretty cool adventure. And once I did it a couple times, I got wasn't as intimidating as at first I thought it would be.
Jay, they tailor these the broadcast boot camp. As you said, they cycle you through different aspects of broadcasting, right? And you get pretty much hands-on instruction from some very accomplished people in the broadcast industry.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. James Brown was there. Kurt Menefee was there. And then they had Quentin Carter from Big Ten. They had a guy from Fox. They had another couple guys from ESPN, CBS, and NBC. And as soon as we were, you know, as soon as we did an exercise, say we did an in-studio analyst, they would record it. They would break down each take, and then they would ask us what we liked or disliked about it, and kind of you measure up your notes. And so you get instant feedback, kind of see where you're at. But then also they put you in pressure-packed situations to see how you perform as well.
And they give you, I would imagine, a resume tape you can take and show people when you're done, right?
Yeah, most definitely. It's actually NFL Films is editing it right now, and you know, they'll send it to us, and then that'd be something that we'll be able to send out to people. You know, and obviously, you know, having the NFL Films and NFL Broadcast Bootcamp on your media resume is always good.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, of all the instructors you had last week, was there anybody who stood out, anybody you thought was really on point and had the most that you could learn from?
You know, one of the things I would say, I mean, they all were great. And, you know, I think James Brown and Kurt Menefee, especially James Brown, because he was up there talking to us a lot and telling us different stories, telling us about his struggles, which was really, really, you know, insightful to hear, just because now you see him on TV as a finished, polished product, a veteran, the icon of the sport. He was a Jay Foreman or somebody like Jay Foreman at one point in time. So it was really good. I really enjoyed him because as famous as he is and such a big star he is, he's very, very humble. And he's willing to help everybody as well.
We're on the line with Jay Foreman, former Bills linebacker. He just came off a stint last week at NFL Films in New Jersey at Broadcast Boot Camp, where 25 players, current and former players, go to get indoctrinated into the world of NFL broadcasting. Jay, you've been out of the game for a couple of years, and you've had you're pretty successful in business. Tell us what you do to make money these days, aside from broadcasting.
I'm a vice president in a type 2 medical device company, so we make a product that helps guard against heat-related illnesses. So that's my main nuts and bolts. And then also I just started a nonprofit called the Foreman Foundation. And our big thing is we donate and also we raise funds and awareness for diabetes, just because, my dad in particular is a diabetic, plus many people in my family as well. So I don't think there's not enough awareness, there's not enough funds raised to hopefully, either find a cure, but then educate people, especially the ones that don't have the funds or the insurance to go out there and get the things so they can live a long, fruitful life versus a short life or shorter lifespan that sometimes happens when you're a diabetic.
And you do all this out in your college town out in Lincoln, Nebraska, is that right?
Yep.
My home base is
in Lincoln, but, I'm all over the place, and I am willing to travel. I think I'm going to try to come out to Buffalo Bills training camp this year, just because I haven't been out there since I unfortunately got traded away, and I always loved the people of Buffalo. I love the Buffalo Bills. That's kind of, the Buffalo Bills is always going to be, Buffalo and Houston, the teams I'm going to be known for, because I played there the longest, 3-3, and then got 2 more years after Houston. But Buffalo's kind of like where I honed my craft and I was molded as a young player in the NFL.
Well, you came to the Bills. You came to a pretty good team, Jay. 1999 season, the last playoff season, by the way, for the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. But that defense, there were some big time players there. Bruce Smith, Ted Washington, Sam Cowart, Thomas. Yeah. You came to a pretty good defense when you arrived here in Buffalo.
I tell people, I always tell people in the draft process, two places I didn't want to go was Buffalo and Green Bay, just because I was so stupid thinking that I want to go to the NFL and party. And those are two teams that didn't interview me at the combine. Buffalo picked me because they said that they were surprised I was still there, and it was the best thing that could happen to me. It's a football town, football people, great fans, but then it was a great team where I got to learn from a year from not only Sam Cowart, but also they had John Hollisek there to be a pro. And then unfortunately Sam got hurt in my second year, and then I stepped in and played well, and the rest is history, where I got to start for the next 5 to 6 years in the NFL, something that probably when I got drafted, I don't think they were drafting a fifth-round pick to end up starting for 5 years. So we did great. We had great – I got to play with one Hall of Fame player in Bruce Smith, and another one probably arguably in Ted Washington, and you throw Pat Williams in there.
Yeah.
And Marcellus Wiley, Sam Cowart, John Hollisek, Sam Rogers, Gabe Northern. Keith Newman, Antoine Winfield, Nate Clemens. We were pretty good defense.
Yeah.
And we're a pretty good coaching staff. And it was a great, the worst thing, or the worst thing I can say, the organization was so well run. All the other teams that I either visited in free agency or went to, Houston was well run, but they could never compare to the Buffalo Bills the way Ralph Wilson and all the whole organization ran the team.
Wow, that's impressive that you say that. You know what game stands out to me, and I wonder if you have a memory of this game. It's not a real fond memory for me, but you mentioned Sam Cowart getting hurt. I believe that was at Tampa Bay. It was November. Yeah. And that game, Jay, do you remember that game? Sam Cowart got hurt. Sam Rogers got hurt. The Bills were still in the playoff hunt until that game, and it all sort of fell apart that day in Tampa. Wade Phillips was fired at the end of the year. John Butler left. It all fell apart after that Sunday afternoon in Tampa. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, I do. I do remember. I do remember the conversation I had with Henry Jones. He's like, you do not want a GM our GM, John Butler, to leave and the coach to start getting fired. And I'm like, yeah, right. I'm a rookie. I'm just learning how to play. And I was just happy that I knew I was going to start for the rest of the season. And actually, even after that Tampa Bay game, we still were in the playoff hunt. You remember?
Yep.
We were still in the playoff hunt. And then remember when we lost to Indianapolis?
Yep.
And Wade said that he didn't think that we could win. If we'd have won that Indianapolis game, we would have still made the playoffs. And that's the funny thing about the NFL. Teams can lose 3 in a row and still get in. And that was when Indianapolis was already in the playoffs. And so it was, that was my first experience of the business side of the NFL, and definitely wasn't the last. And it was just unfortunate because when you look at the players that we had, the young players, on the, and particularly on that defense, we could have really been like a Pittsburgh where you just would have seen guys be there for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years and really had a tradition there. But when new regime comes in with, I think Tom Donahoe came in as the GM, as a general manager, the culture changed and Greg Williams was the head coach and everything was different. Nothing against those guys. I don't think Buffalo has recovered.
Nope.
And hopefully this is the year. I like Coach Marone. I like his style. I like the players that they have. And I think this year, I think Buffalo's going to surprise a lot of people.
Well, I hope you're right. Jay, what? How do you advance your broadcast career now? What do you plan on doing?
Well, I've know some people that I've reached out to before. And then so I have some feelers out there and some potential full-time gigs. And so we're just kind of, in July, I think, when you kind of find out, and I'm waiting on my resume tape and send it out to whoever will watch it as long as I get feedback. And then also I can go there and show them what I can do. So it doesn't really matter. I always tell people I will broadcast for food.
Yeah.
So I will be everywhere. If I come to camp, I can guarantee I'll be hitting you guys up and trying to get on and get as many reps. Because I know eventually I keep improving every year. So eventually somebody's going to like what they see, and I'll be able to get into it at some form or fashion. And not just football. I'm a hockey fan and a soccer fan and a basketball fan, so I can do it all.
Hey, I'm going to take you up on that. We do radio shows every night from training camp at St. John Fisher. So when you show up, we'll definitely get you on the air.
Yeah, I will be there, and I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity.
Jay, it's great to talk with you. Good luck with this. We'll see you, I guess, in a couple of weeks at Bills training camp. Thanks for coming on with us tonight.
All right, thank you.
Jay Foreman, former Bills draft pick, played 3 years here, fifth-round pick in 1999. You heard some of his memories of those days. That was a solid defense. Are you kidding me? What a great defense. Ted Washington, Bruce Smith, Henry Jones, Holasek, Sam Cowart. They were good. They were real good, that defense in 1999 and for most of that 2000 season. And Jay just wrapped up his stint at NFL Broadcast Boot Camp last week at NFL Films. We'll be back in a moment. You can still phone in your thoughts on your favorite NFL player or coach turned broadcaster or about the Developmental League or anything else. The lines are open. 803-0550, the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Jay Foreman. He's got some vivid memories of that 99, 2000, 2001 era. I guess it was 2000 when we talked about that Tampa Bay game when, to me, it all fell apart. And he was right 2 weeks later at Indianapolis, the famous Monday night game. But if you're into that sort of thing, you should check out BuffaloBills.com this week. It is 90s week. On our website, BuffaloBills.com. The 1990s, the decade. It's all in conjunction with NFL Network's 90s week. They're doing a lot of programming. They played Super Bowl 27, the broadcast of Super Bowl 27 on the NFL Network this afternoon. A lot of good memories for Bills fans in the 90s, and some not so good, including some of those rough games at the end of the decade and the upheaval at the end of the decade. So that's all there. And a lot of that you can read about and think about by going to our website, BuffaloBills.com, as we also commemorate the decade of the 90s. Also up on the website these days, Chris Brown, pretty good article. 4 areas where the new coaches can help the most. The Bills coaching staff, obviously, with some turnovers this year. Chris Brown has written a really good piece on 4 areas where the new coaching, including Jim Schwartz on the defensive side of the ball, will help most. So check that out at BuffaloBills.com as well. If you missed portions of our show, you can always go back and pick it up on the website, BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show. It's all there for you at BuffaloBills.com. I like the show tonight. A lot of thought-provoking stuff tonight, including Brian Woods about the FXFL, the Developmental League, and I think Jay Foreman had a lot of good things to say. I'd listen to this show tonight. I don't know if I'll go back and listen to it, but I would definitely, if I were driving around tonight, I would have listened to this and feel good about listening to it. Tomorrow night, I hope we do a good show. You always hope. Rich Cohen is the author of the book Monsters, about the 1985 Chicago Bears, the famous Super Bowl Bears. He'll be on the show with us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock to talk about his book. And we'll dive into some nostalgia tomorrow as well. John Fina, remember him? Former first-round draft pick for the Bills, doing extremely well out there in Tucson, Arizona. He's dabbled in a little broadcasting as well. John Fina is going to be on with us tomorrow night at 8:30 as we talk about that decade of the 90s. He was there for much of the Super Bowl run and the aftermath of that. So John Fina will be live with us tomorrow night as well. We're on the air tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here. We want to thank our engineer tonight, Tom Reitz. We want to thank our producer, Jay Harris. And the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned and operated for 81 years since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. As we said, 7 o'clock tomorrow, we'll start it all up again with another edition of the show. Make sure you join us for that. Some good guests already lined up. See you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, will be live from One Bills Drive tomorrow here on Buffalo Bills Radio.